for the health of it with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. Minutes. And remember the telephone number to call, 434-1790. WhatsApping as well. Musical Barbados on Voice of Barbados, Party of the Year by Ace Panist Mark Ford. That's a cheerful way for us to step into For the Health of It, presentation of the Diabetes Association of Barbados. Let me welcome the team, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to VOB 92.9 FM. Miss Griffith, how are you?
Good evening, Ronnie. I'm good, and you?
Grateful, happy to hear you. And our dietitian, resident, good evening.
Hello, good night.
Hi.
Hi, good evening.
Jason, where are you? Come, we're waiting on you. No, you're on mute, my friend. Everybody else is lively and alive, and you're quiet. So let's begin with the president for the health of it, live on VOB 92.9 FM. Just reminding you, 266 IVOB, 266-4862. That's our WhatsApp, and we will be sharing your thoughts there with the team, and of course 434-1790 via phone. So, Madam President, good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Grateful. Tell us, for the health of it, Diabetes Association of Barbados, obviously, great work and lots of work to do.
Oh, definitely. We still have a lot of work to do, particularly now that we are in the midst of the mango season. So, one of the things that, Jason, why are you laughing?
I am laughing because I remembered something that a cousin of mine sent me over the weekend, but I won't disturb your introduction. Go on.
Right. So, one of the things that we recognize at the Diabetes Association of Barbados is that diet and nutrition are very important as part of your self-management. And it's not just applicable to persons who are living with diabetes, it's actually applicable to all of us. So Jason and I had a conversation a little bit earlier this afternoon where I shared with him that I had actually served my father with a slice of mango. And I guarantee you that did not go down well. One of the things that happens in the mango season, and I can tell you that a lot of healthcare professionals will admit this, that their patients' blood sugars will skyrocket, and persons will start to feel unwell and may even present to hospital. So really and truly, one of the things that we are advising persons is stick to portion sizes and portion control. And I know Carrie-Anne is going to make some comments about that as well. Right, Carrie-Anne?
That's correct. Hi.
So we welcome, so of course, Carrie-Anne Best, our special dietitian friend, the best dietitian for the purpose of the show. She will help us even if we have a weakness for sweetness.
So Carrie-Anne, was I correct in terms of my portion size of mango?
A portion size for fruit is a half cup. So you know mangoes come in various shapes and sizes. So you have to make sure that it is, you're not overeating on the mangoes. I know some persons like to have 4, 5, 6 mangoes at a time. That definitely will raise your blood glucose or your blood sugar levels. So you have to monitor and do portion control. So if it's a big mango, you definitely have to use a slice. If it's a small one, and then how sweet the mango is. So portion control is definitely needed when it comes to mango season. And self-control.
Define a cup, please. Define a half a cup, please.
A half a cup? You could either use a measuring cup, or if you want to use your fist, again, about half of the size of the fist will be a half a cup. So that's a...
My fist is about the size of a mango, so yeah, I could see that being a problem.
Right. So half cup would be considered a serving of fruit.
All right. And you're allowed one at a time, one serving of fruit at a time, right?
Well, it depends on your needs, your nutritional needs, but we usually recommend portion control for our fruit, so you won't eat too many at once. You have to spread it throughout the day and control how much you use at a time. So you can't sit down and eat 4 mangoes all at once. You have to control how much you use at a time.
In fact, let me say we cannot use any multiple of one.
Right.
So it has to be less than one, right, Jason? Because I know you're going to try to find a way around this. No multiples of one.
I am asking for the benefit of the audience. I know they have questions, as do I. I remind you, listeners, to call us at 4341790 or WhatsApp us at 266-4862. That's 266-IDOB for the health of it. In association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. And... you want to give a special shout out to our new co-sponsor, Glucerna, your good decision of the day. That's really good news, Trudy. But and of course, Carrie Ann, we really are appreciative of their support and of yours as well, DAB.
Right. So one of the things I want to ask Carrie Ann, because this actually relates to some of what we talked about last week in terms of how much you should eat, but I really want to turn our attention now to how often we should eat. So we talked about the healthy plate. So Carrie Ann, can you share with us in terms of how often we should eat in a day and how much we should consume?
Okay, so how often? At least 3 main meals a day. That would be breakfast, lunch, and dinner or supper, as we call it. And main meals are supposed to be 4 to 6 hours apart. So if you have your breakfast at, let me say, 6 o'clock, 4 to 6 hours after, you should have your lunch, and so forth. If for any reason you need a snack in between, for whatever reason, 2 to 3 hours between main meals. So that is how often you're supposed to eat. At least 3 main meals, and the main meals 4 to 6 hours apart. For how often and how much to eat, we would utilize our healthy plate to help us portion our meals. Half your plate vegetables, if you're quarter your plate starch, and quarter of your plate protein, and we will watch the portions in those in when you're eating breakfast, lunch, and supper.
Okay, so Carrie Ann, with regards to the snack portion of it, because when we hear, when some of us, should I say, hear the word snack, we're thinking of a package that we can open. Right, because that's how we term snacks in Barbados. But when you refer to snacks, is that what you mean, or are you referring to something different?
So when I say snacks, I don't mean the packaged salty treats or the sugary sweets that persons may be inclined to think of. I'm talking about healthier snacks. A fruit can be a snack, a low-fat yogurt, even a fruit crackers, and some low-fat peanut butter could be a snack. Some unsalted popcorn, things like that could be considered snacks. So this is a good time to get your fruits in to your diet. You can use those as snacks in between your main meals as snacks. So when I say snacks, I'm not necessarily mean the sugary snacks or the salty snacks. So something healthy in between.
I'm not even sure what to say right now, because I don't want to go into the whole is this a good snack? Is that a good snack? Because you could go down the line forever. And obviously, we have commercial considerations because we are commercial businesses. We don't want to endorse or unendorse any particular meal. And of course, we want to let people have the freedom to enjoy what they like to eat. But obviously, the key words that I'm getting from you is portion control. Correct. And timing so far. And obviously, calories. Because you being, Carrie-Anne, with respect, you're much smaller than I am. So I would expect that your calorie needs will be different to mine, right?
Correct. That's correct. Right.
So what's a good rule of thumb in terms of the number of calories? Now, I mean, back in the 80s and 90s, and even now, people used to do calorie counting. I find it to be a very tedious process, but something that's really important to remind yourself how many calories you need. And so maybe you could just give us a reminder again of what calories are and what we are supposed to be consuming. Based on our size, our activity level, and so on. Our age too. Our age is another one.
Okay, so as I had said the last show that we had, you could think of calories as a source of energy or a unit of energy. So it's the amount of energy supplied by the food. To tell you exactly how much calories you should have, it varies, again, by gender. It varies by age, activity level. So it's something that can be calculated, but it is a bit more complicated than just saying, man supposed to have this amount of calories, or woman supposed to have this amount of calories. It's not as simple as that. So it's good to speak to your dietitian if you need some assistance with how much calories you should have a day. So it also depends on your goal. Do you want to gain weight? Do you want to lose weight? Do you want to maintain your body weight? So it varies depending on a lot of different factors. Are you well? Are you ill? Or do you have a wound that needs healing? So it depends on a lot of different factors than just picking a number for calories, how much calories is needed.
Tell us a little bit more about, I guess this will fall into the category of nutrition labels. And forgive me, Trudy, if I'm jumping the gun even a little bit.
No, I was actually going ahead down that road as well.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, great minds think alike, as I say. Then we are in the store. I mean, there's no nutrition labels on mangoes, for instance, or most fruits. But on many other foods, there are nutrition facts on the side of the box or the side of the bag, you know, and there's a list of ingredients. There's a list of what they call RDAs, and it's a bit of a tedious thing to figure out how to read these nutrition labels because they make an assumption. Help us read them through. Just give us a crash course, maybe in 2 minutes, 5 minutes or less.
How to read food labels. So what I would say, there's basically three steps to help read nutrition fact labels. The first step, you should look up your serving of calories, and in the case of diabetes, total carbohydrates. So you look up the serving and serving size. The second step is to see what's in it for you. And the third step is to judge if it's right for you. So when I say look up the serving, you should ask yourself these questions. What is the serving size? So you're looking at the label, you ask, what is the serving size? And after that, you ask yourself, how many servings are in the package? So a package might have more servings than what the serving size would indicate. And then after that, you look and see how many calories or carbohydrates are in one serving. And then how many servings am I going to eat? And then how many carbohydrates or calories would that be? So these are questions that you ask yourself when you're looking at the nutrition fact label. So a guide would be to, for instance, if you're looking at calories, 40 calories per serving is considered low calorie. 100 calories would consider moderate, and 400 or more would be considered high calorie. So if you see a serving size and it has 100 calories per serving, that would be considered moderate in calories. So far, so
disturbing, because it's amazing how small the serving sizes are on many of the popular foods that we like to eat. The serving size is so small, and most people don't eat according to the serving size. They eat till they're full of the stuff or they're tired of eating it. And then when you think how much calories are in the actual food that they enjoy. Oh my gosh. It's amazing that we go over our calorie counts and so many of us gain weight as a result. It's actually quite scary because, again, many of these foods don't really fill you, one, and two, they're full of, you know, they're full of empty calories. They're not nutrient-dense foods. They're calorie-dense foods.
Mm-hmm. So therefore, Jason, I just want to make a comment here. Based on what Carrie Ann has shared with us, not just tonight, but what she would have shared with us last week as well, it obviously means that we can't just look at a food and say it is healthy.
Right.
We have to know something about it. And that's why we promote persons consuming raw provisions, vegetables, fruits, etc., because those are natural foods. They're not processed, etc., and they require little manipulation in terms of them being ready to eat. When we look at a lot of the packaged foods, they undergo a lot of manipulation and processing in order to make it palatable and appetizing, etc. And that is where you really have to get in and look at those nutrition facts, because you now have to really evaluate those foods and say, well, I call them foods, but you really have to evaluate those products and determine, as Carrie Ann just said, are they right for you? So you can't just look at it. And quite frankly, when you look at foods today, there's a lot of marketing that goes into it. So you see things that say low in sugar. No. Pardon me?
No comment. I'm an advertiser. No comment.
So you see these things on the front of your labels, perhaps, or you see them on promotional materials. I want to do as I'm just going through with you to look at the nutrition facts.
It's a real moment of reflection here on For the Health of It in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados and Glucerna, your good decision of the day. The last voice you heard before mine, Jason Bell, is president of the Diabetes Association of Barbados, Ms. Trudy Griffith. Also on this call is the best dietitian in Barbados, as far as I'm concerned, Ms. Carrie Ann Best. She's given us some really interesting information and perspective. Now, so
we're going to switch gears a little bit, Jason.
Please,
because we want persons to appreciate that we as Caribbean people, we as Barbadians, we love food. Let us admit that up front. We love food.
We love
our food to taste good. The challenge is that many of our foods have in lots of carbohydrates and perhaps lots of fat as well. So Carrie Ann, I want to ask a question, which I think is very, very relevant to what we're discussing now in terms of the glycemic index, because that is something that I'm sure some persons are familiar with, but perhaps all of our audience is not familiar with that term. And I will need for you to explain what the glycemic index is.
Okay, so when we say glycemic index, we first have to talk about carbohydrates and carbohydrate-containing foods. So these foods are now being classified by the extent to which they increase our blood glucose level. So carbohydrates that are digested and absorbed quickly will be said to have a high glycemic index. So those carbohydrates that raise your blood glucose level quickly will be by definition have a high glycemic index, and those foods that take longer will have a lower glycemic index. So it's a way to categorize food on the effect it has on one's blood glucose levels. So that is basically, in a nutshell, what glycemic index. So it's a way to categorize carbohydrates and how quickly they raise your blood glucose levels.
So, Carrie-Anne, can you give us any examples, perhaps, of foods that we may encounter on a daily basis that would be considered foods which have a high glycemic index? And then give us some examples as well on some foods that would be considered as having
a low glycemic index.
Okay, so for high glycemic index, foods would be things like potatoes would be considered high glycemic index, glucose or sugar, breads, scones, things like that, baked potato, corn flakes, those would be considered high glycemic index foods. And low glycemic index food would be things like oatmeal, cassava, carrots, bran products, yams, dried beans, those would be considered low glycemic index. So those will not raise your blood glucose level as quickly as the high glycemic index foods.
It occurs to me that the foods that you just mentioned with the low glycemic index have one thing in common, fiber. Fiber.
Yes, correct. So fiber does lower the glycemic index of foods.
Right. So if you, for instance, are eating foods with the skin on, perhaps that gives you a better chance of being able to absorb the food a little bit slower. Obviously, you use common sense, so you won't eat the banana peel, but for instance, but you eat a food with the skin on, perhaps a potato with the skin on, and that has a chance of slowing down the absorption because of the fiber. Is that something that's reasonable?
Yes, and also another thing, if you combine certain foods, if you combine a food with protein, it actually lowers the glycemic, and that is, it's not it's not a perfect system to help with blood glucose, but it is something that is often used because it doesn't really take into account the amount of food that you actually consume. But we find that if you combine certain foods together, it does change the glycemic index of foods.
I can be facetious.
It's a starting point, but it's not a perfect. It's not a perfect method.
That's chicken and tits. Is chicken and tits a good glycemic food?
That's not what we're talking about here.
Fair enough. I just thought of that for the purposes of those. Look, again, I represent myself as the person who, as representing the person who's out there listening, I'm probably asking some of these crazy questions or thinking about these crazy questions. So, of course, we welcome your questions, dear listener, for the health of it. Give us a call, 434-1790. Ronnie is managing the patient admirably, as always, and he'll be able to take your calls. We'll be able to take your questions, and you can also WhatsApp us if you don't want to hear your voice on air, 266-IDOB. All right, Trudy, over to you.
Okay, so we've talked about what we would call staples, because I find that bread and potato tend to be very common staples in our diet.
Right.
Things we go to because it's easy, it's quick, it's accessible, it's convenient, whatever term we want to apply to that. But can we also apply this concept of glycemic index to fruits and vegetables as well?
Yes, we could. There are a list of foods that you could apply it to. So once the food has in carbohydrates, we could apply the concept of glycemic index. They actually give you a lot of information, a lot of tables with low glycemic index foods, medium, and high glycemic index foods. So fruits can be, the same principle can be applied to fruits.
Okay. I think we have a call coming in.
Yes, we do. Ronnie has been waiting patiently to let this caller come on. So welcome to Health for the Health of It.
Hello.
Hello, good caller. Evening. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. I was just listening. And it's a really excellent program. I'm glad you have this program.
Thank you.
I wanted to answer your question about chicken and chips. I just heard it. because I think it deserves to be answered. Why I say that is, you remember the lady had told you that the high glycemic index food is potato. So your chips will be high glycemic index food.
Does it get cancelled out by the protein in the chicken?
No, not the protein, the fat. The substance is fatty, it drops the glycemic index, but it does not necessarily mean that it's healthy. So your lady friend may tell you that chocolates will have a low glycemic index, but also vegetables and cruciferous vegetables and those, they will have a low glycemic index. And so what you need to do when you are eating your favorite foods, one, I would suggest, and in principle, that you cut out some of those fatty foods. But if you must eat them, what I would suggest you do is you add some of the greens to it, because then it helps to balance it. Like she said, it's not perfect, but it helps to balance the food when you add some of your vegetables, you add some of your greens, your lettuce, your cabbage, you know, your greens, whatever your greens are, you add those. And you also take a hand cup full of nuts, which are also healthy for you, but will drop the glycemic index. And it will help the sugars to absorb slowly into the bloodstream rather than spike. And then, and you know, lead you into, or cause you to have issues with your blood sugar, etc. And you see, I think sometimes the focus sometimes tends to be on the diabetic, but I'm not saying your program was focusing on diabetics, but sometimes it focuses on, you know, being careful, a diabetic being careful, but for the average regular individual who may not suffer diabetes, blood spiking is still a problem for you. And so you need to have your blood sugar regulated properly, and so that your body can function properly. Your mitochondria, which is the sugar is the fuel, but you know you're going to have something going on in the mitochondria, where your vitamin B1 and your magnesium acts as your spark plug, to assist in the absorption of the sugar. And so you must be very cautious or cognizant of the fact that you have to have a balanced diet in order to keep a healthy lifestyle. So, yeah, I'm not going to dissuade you from your chicken and your chips, but what I will say I will try to dissuade you from too much fatty foods, yes, but what I will say to you is balance it with low glycemic index foods. And that's my contribution. And hi, Trudy. I'll tell you what
is after. Thank you very much, sir. Very, very welcomed comments. There's so much that we can take from what you just shared with us. So Jason was very smart, right? And I'm glad the caller called and pointed it out. Jason, you said chicken and chips. You never said how they were prepared. Ah. So the caller called you out on it and showed you that you were trying to sneak in that you could consume fried chicken and fried chips.
I put them in the air fryer.
Call Jason
off,
please.
Go on,
Karen. Please respond to that, because the caller made some very good points in terms of trying to balance protein and carbohydrates, etc. But Jason's can the fried part without mentioning it explicitly. So please address the whole issue of fried chicken and chips, because that is something that we deal with quite often in Barbados.
Okay, so like the caller said, protein, fiber, and fat does lower the glycemic index, but you have to, if the frying of food, do you really want to add that extra fat into the diet? So do you really want to add, that's why I asked myself the question, do you really want to add the extra fat or that extra fat into the diet? So if you could find some healthier way to prepare your chicken, some baked chicken, stewed chicken. Do you like those, Jason?
There's a guy I know, right, that wore a shirt one time that said, fat is flavor, and if fat is flavor, then I am delicious. The truth of the matter is, right, that fat does actually make crying a lot. The fat adds flavor. When you steam something or when you boil something, it kind of is, it tastes okay. Stewed chicken is okay as well. But the truth of the matter is that you're dealing, again, you have to consider the culture. And we cannot tell people that they are to replace all their tasty favorite wholesale with bland, tasteless things. And the truth of the matter is that does add flavor.
So yes, so it's how often are you eating these chicken and chips too?
But that's it. I want to tell
how often, if you treat yourself once in a while, but how often are you eating these chicken and chips? Are you eating them every day or are you spacing it out?
Me personally, a couple times a month.
Okay.
A Bajan couple.
So I actually had to research something before I shared my comments on air. A few years ago, I was asked to make a presentation at a secondary school here in Barbados, and they wanted me to present on the topic junk food,
adolescence and health. Right. And I was challenged to go and research that topic. And I was quite amazed in terms of some of the information that I was able to retrieve. And Jason, I think we are going to have to add this word to our glossary, orosensation.
This is orosensation,
O-R-O-S-E-N-S-A-T-I-O-N. And it speaks to the perfect blend of sugar, salt, and fat that persons love. So when you taste it, it is like heaven on earth. And that is what a lot of the food manufacturers are doing. They are trying to create the perfect blend of sugar, salt, and fat that we will fall in love with, and we will continue to consume those products. That is, as I mentioned, those, you're actually just considering your macronutrients. You're not looking at all the vitamins and minerals that your body needs to function well. So therefore, you're just consuming this over and over again, and you're not doing your body well.
Right.
You're
right.
Not doing the best that you can do for your body.
You have brought up some very interesting points. And I can't get over that call. That call is such a great call. It sounds like he knew you, though. I'm not sure. But you don't have to confirm or deny that one, actually. but it was really, really good because he brought up the point where there was one word I wanted to add as well, besides oral sensation, watch it, mitochondria. I'll put that on the board as well. Mitochondria. Now, my recollection from CSC biology is that mitochondria is essentially the powerhouse of the cell. It's where the cell generates energy so that we can move and think and have our being, as they say. And the foods that we consume directly affect us from the inside. It's not just about taste and flavor and full feeling, oral sensation, and all the rest of it. It's literally fuel to the body. And I think we were standing this set to remember that everything we consume, everything we eat, everything we drink, eventually wears on our body. You wouldn't put diesel. And I wouldn't recommend this, by the way. I actually worked in a gas station one time. It's never a good idea to put diesel in a gasoline-powered vehicle. And it's never a good idea to put gasoline in a diesel. Well, you might get away with putting gas in a diesel-powered car, but definitely a bad idea to put diesel in a gas-powered car. Never a good idea. So we ought to treat our bodies the same way. I find that metaphor really works. We treat our body at least as well as we treat our vehicles. So, yeah, what do you think about that?
I absolutely agree with you. In terms of what we consume, we have to be conscious, because I find that there are some situations that cause us to eat unconsciously. But you have to remember, as you just said, you're fueling your body. You're giving your body the nutrients that it needs to be able to continue functioning. And if you give your body too little, you have problems. If you give your body too much, you also have problems. And that problem can manifest in the way of an increased body mass index, which is a parameter that we use based on your height and your weight to determine whether you're underweight, whether you're normal weight, or whether you're overweight or obese. And we know the challenges that we have currently with obesity in Barbados and beyond our shores. And therefore, we need to start being conscious about what we eat.
A couple of questions about BMI. Do you know who came up with BMI? And what's the healthy BMI number? And does it change? So there's three questions. Who came up with BMI? One, what is the healthy range for BMI? Two, and the third question being, does BMI, is a healthy BMI change between populations, maybe the population in Japan, where those folks are a lot smaller in general, maybe shorter than those in the Netherlands who have the tallest people in the world. Is the BMI different between populations?
Okay, so it's funny. I was reading about BMI today. It actually started many, many years ago. I can't remember the exact scientist, his name, who had invented.
I can't call the name because I just researched it as well. I can't call the name.
Can't call it either.
But it's quite some time ago. It's actually probably close to a century ago that this particular scientist introduced the concept of BMA. Right. So carry on, please continue.
So it's basically a screening tool, not necessarily a diagnostic tool. And used to help us identify individuals who may, like truly rightly say, who may be underweight, overweight, or obese. So the calculation is basically your weight in kilograms divided by your height in meters squared. So for adults, a healthy, what we would consider, if you're underweight, your BMI, when you do the math, 18.5, or if it's below 18.5, would be considered underweight. Normal weight would be considered between 18.5 and 24.9. Overweight would be 25 to 29.9. And anything over 30 would be considered obese. So there are exceptions to the BMI, however. So we have to think of persons like athletes or others who have greater than average percent muscle mass. So their BMI might appear, their numbers might appear bigger, but because of the muscle mass, okay? And individuals with less muscle mass are persons who may be overhydrated. You see this in the hospital. Overhydrated are persons who are underhydrated. So that does affect your BMI. So, and why persons like to use BMI? Because if you're overweight or obese, you are at increased risk of chronic diseases such as diabetes, hypertension, and cardiovascular diseases. So like you say, there are some exceptions also with certain ethnicities. Asians and persons from the Pacific Islanders, like Hawaiian Islands and things like that, persons in those regions will experience obesity-related health problems at a much lower BMI. So now what we have would say that 24.9 is the cutoff point. So with persons in those Asian persons of Asian background and Pacific Islanders, they tend to experience obesity-related problems at a lower BMI. So you have to adjust based on that ethnicity. And it's also something I like to talk about along with BMI is the abdominal obesity. That's something that you should also consider, which is your waist circumference. So let's give a brief. Men, if your waist circumference is more than 40 inches, and women, if it's more than 35 inches, it will have increase of chronic diseases like diabetes, hypertension, and cardiovascular diseases. So you monitor your BMI, and you also monitor your waist circumference for abdominal obesity.
And this can be managed by nutrition, right? And not just by eating rabbit food as well. Can husbands like to tease me? Right?
So diet and exercise. You exercise, you monitor your weight, you exercise, and you eat nutritiously. You eat well, and you eat appropriate portions, and you should be fine.
All right. You're listening to For the Health of It in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados and our new partner, Glucerna, your good nutrition. Oh my goodness, your good decision of the day. My mind is on nutrition, and we are, of course, speaking about that subject with dietitian Carrie Ann Best, and of course, Ms. Trudy Griffith, the president of the Diabetes Association Barbados. I'm Jason Bell, reporting from here in the Valley, and of course, manning the studio dutifully as ever, our esteemed program manager, Ronnie Clark. We've got maybe like 3 minutes left in the program, and Ronnie will soon clear us up with the team in a few minutes. But before we do that, this has been a really good discussion again. Really grateful for the calls and the feedback. Well, for the one call and the feedback, because he gave me some really good advice on also chicken and chips. And I'm very grateful for that. But one last question for you, Ms. Dietitian. In this time, we've had a lot of time on our hands with the lockdown and such. I see a lot more people selling on the side of the road. Do you have any ideas, and Trudy, you could jump in as well, with regards to how we can more effectively feed ourselves with nutrient-dense foods from here at home?
How you could feed yourself nutrients. So nutrient-dense food will be include the fruits and the vegetables. You're asking how you could incorporate that into your diet?
Yeah, I'm thinking about backyard gardening or animal husbandry or planting a tree, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, okay. I don't have a green thumb. I can be honest, I don't have a green thumb.
Me either.
You could, what I would do if I was to start, I would start with something easy. Some chives. I asked a friend, she told me chives are easy to grow and take workers. If you don't have the space, you might have to get some cans and some tires.
And
try something. So start with something easy. That's to motivate you. If you see small successes, it might motivate you to go a little further. So I will have to start out small. I will have to do some chives. I think those grow within a week or so.
I can almost hear my father shaking his head right now because both my parents have green thumbs. And
I do not have any. Sorry.
I did not inherit that particular trait. I mean, I need to work on it though. There's not really no excuse. We have so much bush around us that we can easily convert it into arable land. I mean, Barbados was essentially one huge agricultural project many years ago. And there's no reason, the soil hasn't gone anywhere. So perhaps we can utilize the power of the soil and the power of the sun and the beautiful weather we have year round.
Correct.
Plant something that is actually healthy for us. Trudy, do you have any feedback there for us on that? Perhaps from your membership or what have you?
In terms of backyard gardening?
I don't have
any feedback, but I know that there is a national initiative to get persons into backyard gardening. And in fact, there are other initiatives which I hear are in the pipeline or perhaps they've already started where persons can lease land so that they can produce products for the local market and perhaps even for export as well. So I'm certainly going to try and see if I can make contact with them so that we can make that information available, not just our membership, but for all of our listeners who tune in to hear for the help every week on Tuesday evening at 30 p.m. So I know we have just about a minute to go. So I really want to thank Carrie Ann for joining us again this week to discuss this area of diabetes and nutrition. But please bear in mind, listeners, that this advice is applicable to every single person out there who's listening to us because diet and nutrition are important to every one of us. And all of what we have shared over the past 2 weeks is applicable to every single person living in Barbados and even beyond our shores. Ronnie, it was a pleasure having you host us this evening.
Thank you, Jason.
As always, a pleasure. And we want to encourage our listeners to tune in, even contact the Diabetes Association of Barbados because we want to hear from you. So, Jason, take it away.
We invite you to call the office at the Diabetes Association of Barbados. 423-427-9338 or WhatsApp or call 230-2975. Email dab40alpha@gmail.com. Check them out at Diabetes Barbados on your favorite social media. And of course, tune in next time as we continue to live and love for the health of it.